As always, and for those who don't know, this sermon and series and a thousand others are online at www.lifegatechurch.com. And if you're looking for us on Facebook, it's LifeGate, two words, LifeGate Church. Find us, like us, and it'll be good. We're looking at and studying in a series called Trust God's Timing. We're learning how to trust God's timing, and we're learning why we should trust God's timing. This is the fourth lesson that we've done on it, and this will finalize the series. And last time we looked at redeeming the time, and we saw that what happens to us with our time is it's like getting kidnapped. Things kidnap our time and demand a ransom to get it back. Are we willing to pay the price to get our time back? And we saw that it's like taking our time to a pawn shop and pawning it and doing something we think we would want to rather do with our time than what we should be doing with it. I want to stay in that same vein today, except I want to get a little more specific, if you will. And I want to call this one, instead of redeeming the time too, I want to call this one being specific with time. Be specific with the time that you've got. The time that we've got is so precious, and we need to be so purposeful with it. We need to make sure that we're worthy, we use the time worthily, and that we need to make sure that we're accurate with the time. We need to be specific. So let's read that verse again that we read last time when we were looking at this in the Amplified Bible. I'm reading from it. Are my monitors on? Please take them off if they are. In the Amplified Bible, it says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, it says, "Look carefully then how you walk," or how you do life. Live purposefully. We need to be on purpose people. We need to walk around on purpose, not haphazardly as the unwise do. It says live purposefully and worthily. We need to be worthy of the time we've been given. God has given the most precious gift, time. We need to be worthy of the time we've been given, and accurately. We need to be focused people. We need to have a target. We need to be accurate with our time. Not as the unwise and the witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people, making the very most, being very specific, making the very most of the time. So what wise people do is they're purposeful with their time. They take that time worthily. They see how worth it is, the worth of time, and they're very, very accurate with their time. But we've all been guilty of wasting time. We've all have. I did a lot of research, and when you look at it today, at the top of the list of wasteful things that people do with time is now the internet and social media. And I want to read this to you because I feel like some of us are maybe guilty here. Let me read this to you. It says that new research has found that the average user spends 23 hours a week emailing, texting, and using social media and other forms of online communication. Now, that represents nearly 14% of the total time in a week. 14% of our time is now going into cyberspace. 23 hours a week. But maybe that's not your thing. But maybe you spend hours talking on the telephone. Or maybe someone calls you and talks witlessly to you for hours on the telephone. They gossip, they're not going anywhere in life, and they just take your time. Or maybe you're a person who maybe enjoys video games. And you spend hours, or maybe you know people who spend hours and hours a day playing video games. Now, I don't know if that's witless or not. Or maybe you're somebody who has been hurt, or you know someone who's been hurt by other people. And they spend hours and hours a day reliving that hurt and going through it again and again and again. Or maybe you're a person who likes to sleep in all day. you like to sleep. And so you're sleeping your life away, or maybe you know people who do this. And we all need to exercise, and we all need hobbies. We really, really do. But have we taken exercise and hobbies and pawned them? Does a pawn shop, take our time, and we've pawned our time when we should be doing something else? We're doing these other things about it. Now, in and of themselves, all these things that I've listed, and who could limit it? We could go on and on and on. But all these things I listed in and of themselves are not bad. None of them are bad. But it's like Paul said in Ephesians 5:18, we talked about it last time. He gave us an example of redeeming the time, and he said, don't get drunk with wine. In and of itself, there's nothing wrong with wine unless you become a drunk. And then it's debauchery. What means a wasted life. Wine will waste your life. And any of these other things that I've mentioned here can become debauchery to us and just waste our life away. So what we want to do is talk about this today. There are some simple things that I think we can just make ourselves look at and check ourselves just to see how we're really doing with the time that we've begun. Are we specific with the time? Are we purposeful people? And one of the things that I, as I was looking at this, is just getting organized. It's amazing how unorganized people are. So I've got some statistics I want to read to you. Here is one. It says, average Americans spend 1 year of their life looking for lost or misplaced items. That's from the U.S. News and World Report. Isn't that interesting? You know, car keys or remote control or paperwork or tools or children. You know, we misplace these things. And we spend hours looking for them. And then on average, we spend 6 minutes looking for our keys in the morning. That's from IKEA. Now, really? Do we do that? The top five items that men look for in their homes are clean socks, remote control, wedding album. Now, I don't think in my whole life I've ever looked for the wedding album, but obviously some of you guys do. But you know, wedding album, car keys, driver's license, and for women, the top five items are shoes, a child or a child's toy, wallet, lipstick, and the remote control. It's interesting to me. Now, look at this one. Look at this one. The average American wastes 55 minutes, and this is a day, roughly 12 days a year looking for things they own but can't find. 55 minutes? Really? The average office employee spends 1.5 hours a day, 6 weeks per year, looking for things. That's from Organized World. And the typical executive wastes 150 hours a year, almost an entire month, searching for lost information. For someone earning $50,000 a year, this loss is equivalent to $3,842 annually. That's from Forbes ASAP. Wow. So just getting organized would redeem a lot of time. Clean up your house. Right? Put things where they belong when you get done with them. Just clean up the tool room, you know. Clean your office up. Whatever. And you're thinking, wow, Delbert, that is really spiritual stuff you just gave us there. That is so good. I come to church to hear a good sermon, and you're telling me to go home and clean my house up. Well, yeah, but listen, spirituality is far more than speaking in tongues or interpreting tongues or prophesying or casting out devils. Spirituality is more than coming and jumping and praising and singing out real loud or preaching a sermon or listening to a sermon. Listen, I know this sounds kind of simple, but the spirituality is organizing our life because it just simply tells us we're not disciplined. And we need to be disciplined people. We need to organize our lives. And you know, we are so talented. You are so talented. You're so full of talents. I'm so talented. I'm so full of talents. But you know what? I get distracted, and so do you. Little things just sort of distract us and get us off course. They get us off focus of what we should be focused on. They get us sidetracked. They pull us over on, you know, and we look at it, and we've lost an hour or a day or a week. These little things, or a month, or a year, or 20 years, over just not being organized, just not being disciplined with our time and allowing things to distract us. You know, we have just been given just so much time, and we allow these little things just to take it away from us, and we just end up wasting so much of the precious time that God has given to us. I love what David said in Psalms 90. We talked about it in the past, but really something stood out to me this particular time. In Psalms 90 and verse 12, it says, teach us to number our days aright. Now, what really got me is it says, teach us. We have to learn to number our days aright, to see the value of every single day. Because if we don't learn this, we'll waste it. We have to be taught. We have to learn how to see the value of every single day. And he goes on to teach us to number our days aright, that we, here's why, that we may gain a heart of wisdom, that we can use our time wisely. And things so distract us, and things pull us off course and cause us to become unfocused and sidetracked us, and we don't realize. See, a wise person with a wise heart sees the value of every single day of your life. You only have so many. If you live to be 80 years old, you'll have 29,200 days. And if you get to my age, and you look at that, and you say, whoa, now I intend to live 100 or more. Right? But even at that, I've still used up over half of my days. And so when you start getting wisdom and you start looking at this thing rightly, when you look at it the way you should look at it, you see that, man, days are snapping off. They're just going by. It's flying by. It's like we said last time. Time is flying by. And when it's gone, it's gone. You can't get it back. There's no pause button. There's no rewind button. There's nothing you can do to get that time back. No matter how you enjoyed it and how you wished you could get it back, you can't get it back. You've got so much time that's given you. It's your one shot at life. You won't get to do any redos on it. You won't get to relive your 20s or your 30s or your 40s or your 50s. It's gone. You've got this much time to make life happen, to make life work. What are we doing with our time? Are we specific with our time? So when you become an on-purpose person, and you really start getting into this and trying to use the time worthily, and you try to be a person who is accurate with their time, and you start seeing that you want to be specific with your time, and you see that your days are really numbered, you start thinking differently. You start doing life differently. You walk differently in life. And one of the things that you'll always do in life when you start seeing this is you realize that every battle is not worth fighting. There are. Why respond to every critic? You know. Now I am so criticized. I have so many sermons online and videos and audios, and I get so criticized and blasted by them. People that don't know me, and some of these people are vicious, mean people, and they don't agree with me on the kingdom. And how I interpret the kingdom of God. And they don't agree with me on the book of Revelation. And they don't agree with me on my end times understanding. No matter how many scriptures I use or quote or say what Jesus said, doesn't matter to them. They don't agree with me on home and family or finances or divorce. They blast me. Now, if I took time and responded to every critic, that would get me so distracted and so off course, so off of what I'm really here to accomplish and do. So I've learned not to pay attention to that. I don't have to respond to that. I have learned in my life that, first of all, everybody's not going to agree with me. And that took me a long time to finally. There are some people I cannot convince to agree with me. And there are people that really don't want peace with me. They don't want me to like them, or they don't want to like me. And that's okay, as long as God likes me. As long as I know that I have been faithful to the Word of God and that I have done my absolute best not to twist scriptures or use them out of context, and I've brought it the way it should be, I don't care about them. They're not a battle worth fighting. They can say anything they want to. I have learned not to respond to them. I've learned some things in life that are so valuable concerning these things. Everybody's not going to like you. And when you know that you got this much time, when your days are numbered and you're trying to be an on-purpose person, you find out you don't have to respond to every battle. You don't have to do that. Only battles I respond to now, the only battles I fight now, or try to, is the battles that stand between me and my destiny. The battles that stand between me and what I'm here to do, what I know my purpose is in life. Now, if there's a battle there, I'll fight it. But all this other stuff is just distractions, and I'm not going to give my time to it. And another thing that you come to when you're trying to be an on-purpose person and you're trying to be worthy of the time that you've got and you're trying to be accurate and spend it correctly and you realize that your days are really numbered and you want to be specific with the time. Another thing that you realize and you do is you don't want to spend or waste time with unhappy people, or let me say it a different way, with people that you can't make happy. And we all know these people. See, these are the people that I don't care what you do for them, it's never enough. You cannot make some people happy They're like they were born unhappy. I mean, there's nothing you can do that's going to change their happiness. And what I've learned is that it's not my responsibility and it's not your responsibility to make them happy. See, they have to go and do that for themselves. They have to go and acquire that themselves, their happiness. They've got to adjust their own attitudes. They've got to adjust their own focus and what they want to be focused on. And if they want to be unhappy, okay. They can be unhappy, but they're not going to make me unhappy. Here's the thing. I want you to say, I'm not going to spend my time trying to change things I can't change and trying to make people happy I can't make happy. I'm not going to spend my time trying to fix people I can't fix. I'll try. I'll love them. I'll love them at a distance. But I'm not going to spend what time I've got. I want to be an on-purpose person. I want to be worthy of the time that God's given me. I want to be accurate with the time. I know I have only got so many days, and I've got them numbered. My days are numbered. And I want to be specific with each and every one of them, how I spend them. And some people spend a lot of time waiting for someone to apologize to them. You probably know some of these people. You know, they say, I'm not going to be happy until they apologize to me. Well, what they don't realize that they're doing is they have allowed their lives and their time to be kidnapped by this person they don't like. I mean, what if they never apologize to you? Are you going to go the rest of your day sour? Are you going to go the rest of your days in bitterness and distracted by this person? Are you going to let this person control your life from now on because you're waiting for an apology from them? Listen, you don't need their apology. You need your time. Your time is way more valuable than their apology. You gotta pay the ransom for that thing. You gotta go redeem it from the pawn shop. Whatever the cost is, you gotta forgive them. You gotta get on with your life. Don't worry about an apology. And this is what the Scriptures teach us in the book of Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 26. It's exactly what the apostle tells us. It says, in your anger, do not sin. So you can be angry with someone, but not sin. How do you do that, Delbert? It tells us. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Don't let the sun go down on it. Deal with it quickly. And as he goes on and he says, and do not give the devil a foothold. Listen, people go to bed at night so angry and bitter. They lay there and they relive that event, how they were hurt, how someone hurt them. They relive that over and over and again. And the sun goes down. And you know what? When the sun goes down and you're angry and you're bitter and you're unforgiving, the sun's going to come up. And you're still angry. And you're still bitter. And you're still unforgiving. And you've got to do it all over again. And again and again and again and again. When will you finally realize you don't need an apology? And what you have done, and I hope I'm talking to somebody right here, because listen to me, this is so important. You've not only blocked God's blessings by being angry and unforgiving, because He won't forgive you unless you forgive, right? Am I right? Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer. But not only have you blocked God's blessings on your life, but you've opened the door. You have given the devil a foothold into your life. What you've done is you've opened the door and said, come on in, devil. Come on in. Do whatever you want to in my life. Just tear me apart. And you keep that door open. You don't need an apology. You need to shut the door. You need to forgive. And you need to get that door shut and get that foothold out of your life. And get on with your life so that you can have the blessings of God in your life. Now, we all go through valleys and we all go through tough times in life. Every single one of us have experienced the down times, the weary times in life when we're frustrated and we're angry or and things are not going our way and we're in a valley. But what we always need to remember is that when we're in a valley, if we will keep moving, we're going to come to a rise again. Our life is going to go up again. But we got to keep on moving. We can't just stay right there in the valley. And if you didn't need that valley, if you didn't need that weary time, if you didn't need that misery in your life, God wouldn't make you go through it. But there's something about that time that's going to be good for you. See, that's what we talked about already. There is a proper time for everything, but you got to go through the proper procedure to get to it. And every procedure has some misery. But on the other side is everything you need. Everything you need in life. Everything that matters for you is there. And I have learned in life that the best way to get through the valley, through the weary times, through the distressful times, through the down times in life, is simply do something good for someone else. Now, let me show you this in the Scripture. Let me show you this, how this works. It's in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 and 10. Let us not become weary. Let us not become down. Let us not get in the valleys of life. Let us not be weary in doing good. Here's why. For as the proper time, at the proper time, at the what time? The proper time. There is a proper time. At the proper time, look what happens. We will reap a harvest. We'll get to what really matters in life if we do not give up, if we don't get stuck in the valley. You don't pitch your tent in the valley. You keep on moving. And here's how you keep on moving. He says, therefore, here's how you do this. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. God will give you opportunities while you're in your valley, while you're in your distressful time, while you're in your angry time, while you're in your valley time. God will give you an opportunity to do something good for someone. That's going to bring you out of the valley, out of your distress, so you can get on to what really matters in life. We have opportunity to let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers, especially to the body of Christ. Now, I have learned that the fastest way to get out of the valley and the down times of life is to start doing something good for someone else. I want to tell you a story. This was years back. We were getting ready for vacation, and I was working on my boat. And I always like, when I pull that boat out of the yard and go to Florida, I like to make sure all the pumps are working and everything's working as well as can be. I had a pump that stopped working one time, and I rolled that boat in the ocean, and that is not fun. So I try to make sure everything's working. Well, I was working on this pump, this bilge pump, and I broke it. All I was trying to do was tighten the hose, and I ended up pushing too much pressure on it, and it snapped, and it broke it. And man, I was already frustrated. I was already hot. I couldn't hardly reach it. It was tough to get into it, and I was just ooh. And when I did that, you know, yeah. And you know, you get so mad, and so I'm in a hurry. I have an appointment that afternoon, and I've got to get done with this thing. We're pulling off for Florida in a day or so, and so I was trying to get it done. I jump out of the boat and I go get in my truck, and I'm mad. I'm hot. I'm angry at myself, and so I'm backing out, and I take off to Walmart. I know Walmart has a pump. It's not the same pump, but it will work. It will do the job for me. So I'm gone to Walmart, and I'm taking off, and I'm snatching gears. You know how you guys are. You know, we're mad. We're going down the road. So I wheel into Walmart's parking lot, and I wheel into the parking place, and I stop, and I turn it off, and I shove it in gear, and I get out, and I slam the door, and I'm walking as hard and as fast as I can. I'm still frustrated and angry, and there's this woman who stands there between me and the entrance. And she's pushing her buggy, and in the buggy is full of groceries and items. And so she's standing right in my path. Well, down in here, I hear the Spirit of God say, help her find her car. She's looking all over the place. She's looking all over the parking lot, and it's obvious that the woman has misplaced her car. And I said, I'm not going to help her find her car. She can find her own car. I'm in a hurry. And I'm going on, and I hear it again. Help her find her car. Lord, I'm not going to help her. I'm in a hurry, Lord. I don't have time for this. I don't want to help her find her car. And besides, what am I going to say to her? Oh, woman, have you lost your car? You know, is that what I'm going to say, Lord? You know, he didn't respond to that one. And so anyway, I go on. And the only way I could have avoided her was just to make a big, because she was right in my path. You know. So I said, okay. So I'm going to do this. Okay. So I wonder how am I going to approach this elderly lady and talk to her without frightening her or thinking I'm some weirdo, you know. So I'm walking up to her. I get about 10 feet away from her, and I stop and put my hands in my pockets. I don't want to be threatening. And I look at her, and I said, ma'am, it's obvious that you have misplaced your car. Would you mind if I helped you find it? And she, you know, she's looking all over the parking lot. She snatches her head, and she looks at me. And I thought she's about to blast me. You know, I'm thinking, well, who do you think? What are you, weirdo? You know, but that's not what she said. She looked at me for a few seconds, and then she looks back up, and she starts looking over the parking lot again. And she says, I thought I parked it right here. And I said, well, if you'll let me push your buggy, I said, we'll go around, and we'll find your car. She says, okay, thank you. So we start walking in. So I ask her what kind of car it is. And she says, it's a Ford. What color is this? Green. I says, is it a new one or an old one? She says, oh, I've had a long time. I said, so I'm looking for a green Ford. And we're looking all over. That's how I remembered. It may have been something different at the time, but that's how I remembered. It'll get the point across here in a minute anyway. So I'm walking all over. We're going up and down and up and down looking for a green Ford. I can't find a green Ford in that parking lot anyway. Now, and so finally she says, I think that's it. She says, that looks like my car. And so I look at the car she's pointing to. It's a blue Buick. And I'm thinking, okay, I don't care what color it is. All I want to do is get this woman's car. And so I said, okay, if you got the key, I said, let's check it and see if your key opens the car, then this will be your car, right? So he hands me the key. And I'm thinking, why are you handing me the key? I guess if somebody's going to get arrested for trying to steal a car, it's going to be me, not you. You know, so I take the key and hallelujah, it opened the car. You know, I'm saying, okay, great. So I got this buggy of stuff here. So I asked her, I said, do you put your groceries in the back seat or do you put your groceries in the trunk? She says, I put them in the boot. I said, the boot. Okay. I know what a boot is. I said, okay, we'll do that. So I got the key back and I opened up the trunk and I handed her the key back. And so I'm putting her stuff into her boot. And, you know, and she's talking to me the whole time and apologizing for taking my time and being such a nuisance and you know, and all those things. And I'm telling her, ma'am, that's perfectly fine. We all do things like this. That's fine. I am so happy I've just got a chance to do something for you today. So I get them all in there and I close her boot. And so I get her buggy and she looks at me with the most sincere look you can possibly imagine. She's a little short thing. She looks up at me and she says, thank you, Sonny. And I say, I'm thinking, Sonny, I'm 60 years old. And she and she says, thank you, Sonny. And I'm holding back my laugh. And I said, ma'am, and I said it with the most sincerity and meaningfully as I possibly could. And I said, ma'am, I said, I am so happy that I got to help you today. I said, you have a wonderful day. So I took the buggy and I was taking it to a buggy storage place, you know, cart place, and pushing it over there. And I remember the smile on my face that hurt me. I smiled so hard and so heavy, I felt my cheeks hurting. You know, have you ever done that? And I was, as I watched that green Ford pulled out of the parking lot that had miraculously become a blue Buick, I thought to myself, wow. Why did I come to Walmart? What was it I needed? Oh, yeah, that pump. Oh, yeah. But you know what? The frustration was gone. All my anger was gone. All of my anxiety was gone. It was gone. I had gotten to do something good for someone who needed me without any reward, not wanting any reward, just doing it, just to do something good. You know, I said, I'll fix the boat tomorrow, or I'll fix it down there, or, you know, whatever. It's just, that's just not important right now. What's important right now is I want to just relish this moment, how good it feels, how clean I feel, how well I feel. And what I'm trying to tell you is, listen, when you are in a bad place, when you're in a down time in life, a frustrating time in life, find someone that you can do something good for. See, that's using that time that you've been giving worthily. Nothing would be more worthy to the Lord than you taking that time and focusing it on and accurately using it on and purposefully using it on somebody who needs you. That is counting your days and using that time so wisely. So that's what we want to do when we get into those valley times of life when we're down. Now, another thing that you're going to do when you want to be purposeful with your time and use your time worthily and you want to be on focus with it, use it accurately and realizing that your days are numbered. Here's something you're going to do. You're going to begin to evaluate or reevaluate your, and hear how I'm going to say this, your time relationships. You're going to look at these. See, you got a lot of people in your life, and some of those people are taking time from you. Now, most of it's good. Most of it's good. You got time that you invest into people, and I've done that over my life a good bit. I invest into people, time, my time. I take it and I invest it into them. Or there's time that you redeem. You know, there's relationships that you redeem. They had a breach or whatever, and you redeem that, or you help others redeem the relationship, and they help you. And so there's the redeeming aspects of relationships as well. And there's the elements like I just told you about, where you help someone, and you do something good for someone. And that's all good time. That's when you're using your time appropriately and wisely. But then there are people in our lives, and hear how I'm going to say this, because I know everybody will identify with it. But there are people that will waste your time. They just use you and use your time. So what we want to do as we begin to really process our time and number our days wisely, as we begin to look at this, what we want to do is weed out or cut off or put off and put out the people that are just wasting our time. Now, it's not that you don't love them. You love them, but you just love them at a distance. You love them differently. And if you leave these people in your life, they will pull you down. they have bad spirits most of the time. They're negative people, and they will stop you from fulfilling what you're here to really accomplish in your life. Now, Jesus was extremely specific with his time when he gave it to people. He was an on-purpose person. He came with a purpose. He used his time worthily. He didn't have that much of it. He used his time worthily. He used it accurately. He was focused. He was targeted. He was specific with his time. His days were numbered, and he knew it. Right? And he had hundreds of people who wanted to get time from him, who wanted to take his time. Hundreds of them. And he, way he dealt with this is he prayed all night. It was that serious with him who he gave his time to. So he prayed all night, and he came up with 12 men that he was going to invest his time. He was going to give his time to 12 men. They were the disciples of Jesus Christ. But out of these 12 men, there were three that got more time than the others: Peter, James, and John. He spent more time with them than he did the other nine. And then out of the three, there was one that we would call his best friend. It would be John. John writes that he was the Lord's favorite. You know, he's the one the Lord loved. And it was John that Jesus gave asked to take care of his mother while Jesus hung on the cross, dying in crucifixion. So that was how he decided that this is where my time is going. He was cautious with his time. And when it comes to life, what you and I have got to do, if we want to be accurate with our time and we see our days are numbered, what we want to do is we've got to be cautious with who gets our time. You're going to have numbers of acquaintances. You're going to have hundreds of acquaintances, right? You're going to have all, but you can't have 20 best friends. You can't do that. Jesus couldn't even do that. You have got to be specific who gets your time, because people will take advantage of you and waste your time. Right? So Jesus was extremely, extremely specific when it came to his time. Now, what you'll learn as you begin to do this is your circle begins to get smaller and smaller and smaller with the people that you spend time with. Your circle gets tighter and tighter. And there's going to end up with one, two, or three people that you're really going to be able to do life with. Now, these four qualities, and they got to believe in you. Number one, they got to believe in you and what you're about in your life. They got to help you with it. They got to be resources that you can have in life. They got to support you. And another thing that they've got to do is they've got to protect you in your life. And they've got to stick with you. They've got to stick with you through the thick times and the thin times of life, the good times and the bad times, because good times and bad times are coming. And you don't need people with a bad spirit that's just coming to waste your time when you're going through a tough time in life. We need to be cautious with who we give our time to. Now, we're told of a story in this, in the Bible. It's about Jesus. He's gone across the Sea of Galilee. He's come back across. And as soon as he steps ashore, this guy meets him. His name is Jairus. And Jairus, he's a synagogue ruler, and he has a daughter that's near death. He meets Jesus, and he says, "My daughter is about to die. Will you come and see what you can do for her?" Jesus says, "Let's go." So here they go down the streets, and this crowd comes around Jesus. He's extremely popular, so people get all around him, and they're all, you know, up against him and all this stuff. Well, this woman is in the crowd, and she is a woman with an issue of blood, and she slips through the crowd, and she grabs the hem of his garment. And Jesus stops right there, and he says, "Who touched me?" And the disciples are telling him, "What do you mean, who touched you? Everybody's touching you. Look at all these people." He says, no, somebody touched me. And he stopped and took time to find out who touched him. And it was this woman who had this female issue, and he stopped and he took time with her right there. Now while he's doing this, we pick up the reading in the book of Mark, chapter 5 and verse 35. It says this: "While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. 'Your daughter is dead,' they said. 'Why bother the teacher anymore?'" Now watch this. Ignoring what they said. Okay, you can take that down just a second. Ignoring what they said. Listen, there are people in your life you got to ignore what they said. They will take faith out of you. They will talk faith out of you rather than talking faith into you. And you've got to ignore them. They will put fear inside of you rather than faith inside of you. And there are people that you just learn to ignore in life. You just don't. You love them, but you ignore them. And you just don't let them get to you. Because they will do the opposite of what you want people to do in your life when you're going through a tough time. When somebody's dying that you love. When that kind of thing, when you've got a serious situation, you don't want somebody coming up and taking faith out of you. And so this is what Jesus said. Jesus said to Jairus, here's what he said. Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, don't be afraid. Don't let fear get in you. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Just have faith. All right? And here's the part that I really wanted you to see in this. He did not let anyone follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. The other nine disciples could not even go on this one. Three people. See, Jesus understood that when you're in a serious situation, when it's life and death, when you're in a serious situation of failing and falling or being successful, you just can't have just anyone around you. You've got to have people that believe in you, people that support you. You've got to have people that will take care of you and protect you. And you've got to have people that are going to stick with you. You've got to have these people. And let me tell you, in your life, if your life isn't progressing the way you think it should, it's probably because you're spending your time or wasting your time on the wrong people. And Jesus says, ignore them. Ignore them. And when I go through my battles in time, when I'm in the heat of the battle, let me tell you something. I'm extremely careful and cautious who I let in. I want to say this now, and I'll emphasize it again in a moment. But see, everybody doesn't want you to succeed. Everybody don't want you to be successful. Some people want you to fail. And you've got to have people around you that don't want that. And when I go through my tough times in life, I'm specific even who I ask to pray for me. Because you see, when you ask people to pray for you, you've got to tell them what to pray about. Oh, you can say, well, you know, I've got a non-spoken request. Well, what good is that? When you pray, say, Jesus said, right? And so you've got to tell them what you want to pray about. And I might not want them to know. They might not want me to be healed, or might not want me to be successful, or they might want me to fail and fall. So, and Judy was sick a while back. Most of you knew that. And she went through a time there. And we were very, very protective of who got to her. She had her Facebook buddies praying for her. We knew that was going on. But see, we knew there were people that didn't want Judy to get well. As sweet as she is, as beautiful as she is, there were people that didn't want her to get well. And we knew it. And we were very, very, very cautious. See, we didn't need somebody talking to Judy and telling her, you know what, you know, I think my grandmother had that and she died of it. And, you know, I hope that doesn't happen to you. We didn't need that. What we needed was what Paula Lytle did. What Paula Lytle said was, you're getting better every day. You're getting better in every way. That's what we needed to hear. When you're going through a financial time, you don't need somebody to come up to you and say, well, you know what? I knew you were spending too much money. I told you you shouldn't buy that house. And you knew you shouldn't have gotten that car. Oh, you're going to have to go bankrupt now. See, I told you. You don't need that. Well, okay, maybe you did make a mistake. Maybe you did overspend. Maybe you did, but you don't need somebody to tell you that. What you need somebody to tell you is, listen, God's going to provide a way. Yeah, you're going to get through this. Just keep on going through this downtime, through this valley time, through this distressful time, but God's going to provide a way for you. You've been doing what you need to do, and God's going to take care of you. That's what you need. When you're going through a marriage problem, you don't need somebody to come up to you and say, I knew this marriage was doomed from the beginning. I knew it. You're going to have to get a divorce now. I know you guys hate each other now. You don't need that. What you need is somebody to say, listen, I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you guys are going to get back together, that everything's going to work out fine, that you're going to fall back in love with one another. And I know that spark that is still in there, that flame that once was there, that when you guys fell in love and when you guys got married, I believe that's still there. And I'm praying, I'm believing God's going to take care of that. That's what you need. You don't need somebody to whip you because you made a mistake. You don't need somebody to punish you because you messed up. You already know you messed up. You don't need somebody to whip you. What you need is somebody to hold your arms up and say, like Aaron and Hur held up Moses' arm in the battle. They held him up and they said, we're going to get through this, Moses. We're going to be here for you. We're going to support you. That's who you need in your life. You need somebody who's going to talk faith into you, not talk faith out of you. Now listen, you're going to meet some people in your life and they're going to want to attach to you and they're going to have a critical spirit. And what they will end up doing with you is stopping you, not helping you. They're going to end up pulling you down and back, not pushing you forward and onward. Jesus got to Jairus' house. By the time he got there, the girl's dead. The mourners are in there. They're weeping and wailing and doing their thing. Well, Jesus tells them she is not dead. She's asleep. You remember what they did? They laughed at him. They mocked him. Now listen, have you ever been mocked? When you're mocked, you want people around you who believe in you, who support you, who will protect you, and who will stick with you, because they're going to be mocked too. Anytime I've ever been mocked, you guys have been mocked too. And you want people around you that don't want you to fail. You want people around you that are going to support you and take care of you. So he gets there, and so they're mocking him and they're laughing at him. And so here's what happens in verse 40. Matthew 5:40, it says, "But they laughed at him after he put them all out." Now, let's stop there. What did he do? He put them out. He showed them the door. How many of them? All of them. Did he love them? Of course he loved them. But he wanted to love them on the other side of the door. There are people you need to love, but you need to love them on the other side of the door. Right? And so he put them out, and let's read on. "He took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was, and he raised that child back to life." But he was specific who went in that room with him. Now listen, if you want a supernatural, blessed life, there's some people you got to put out. You can love them, but you got to love them at a distance. And you got to love them on the other side of the door. You can't let them get in that room, that special place with you. Listen, for your dreams to live and not die, for your goals to make it and not fail, the only thing that 'll stop it are people that shouldn't be in your life. Put them out. Put them out. Love them. Be kind to them. But put them out. All of them. No, but what if they get mad at me? Well, decide. You want to be poisoned? Do you want your dreams to live? What do you want? Who do you spend lunch with every day? Who do you eat lunch with? Spend that hour with. Are they positive? Are they pushing you forward? Are they taking you onward? Who do you talk to on the phone every day? Where are they going in life? They have any aspirations? Are they just talking about people and witlessly using your time? Using you. Listen, you've got so much time. And when it's gone, it's gone. And when it's gone, God is going to look at it. And He's going to evaluate, how did you do with your time? Were you an on-purpose person? Did you take and use worthily the time I gave you? Were you accurate with it? Did you focus? Did you use that time accurately? Were you specific with your time? Did you count your days? Did you number your days wisely? How much time have we really lost in our lifetimes just because we were unorganized? We just were not disciplined. We let things take our time. What distracts you? What is it that you get kind of lost in? You know, it gets you off focus. It gets you off course. It sidetracks you, and you look around. You've lost an hour, or a day, or a month, or a year, or 20 years. What is it? See, you need to redeem that time. It's kidnapped you. You've got it. You've got it in a pawn shop. Go get it. Take that time, redeem that time. Have you learned to number your days aright? Have you learned the value of every single day? How valuable. There's nothing more precious than your time. Are you battling fights and fighting battles that you don't need to fight? Listen, you're not going to please everybody. Everybody's not going to like you. You're not going to make everybody happy. Don't waste your time on those issues. Go on with your life. The only battles you want to fight are the battles that stand between you and your destiny. Those are the battles, and the only battles you really need to engage in. Do you have people in your life that no matter what you do, you can't make them happy? Don't waste your time trying to fix things you can't fix, fix people you can't fix, or make people happy that will never be happy. Your time is too valuable for that. Your days are numbered. You only have so much. You need to use it specifically. How many sunsets have happened with anger in your heart, unforgiveness and bitterness? Well, it came back up the same way, and you had to do it all over again. How long are you going to go? How many months, years are you going to waste thinking about that person who has kidnapped your time? You don't need an apology. You need your time. When's the last time you really did something good for someone and didn't want any reward for it? See, the next time you're in a valley in a downtime, try to remember that. Who can I go do something good for? You have an opportunity. God will make sure you have one. Take that opportunity. Keep moving through your valley. You'll go back up again. How do you manage your time relationships? Everybody's not a time relationship, but you've got some. Are they really helping you do what you need to do in your life, or are they just stopping you and sucking you down and bringing you down, causing you to not fulfill your purpose and your goal in life? How's your life? You can tell by how's your time. You see, when we come to that time, when our time is used up and the Lord's evaluating it, our excuses aren't going to work. We're not going to say, "Lord, I know I wasted a lot of time, but it was my friend's fault." No, that's not going to work. "Lord, I know I spent all those years being bitter and angry and unforgiving. I know I did, but you know how bad they hurt me." The Lord's going to say, "No, that's not going to work. You didn't redeem your time." God wants to bless you. He wants to bless your socks off. He wants to bless you in every way imaginable. And one of the ways and it stops us from Him doing it is by not doing our time right. We give a foothold to the devil. He wants you to know that there is a proper time. That everything that really matters in your life is already stationed out there for you. But there's also a proper procedure that you're going to have to go through. And that proper procedure is going to have some misery in it. But it's for your good to get to what really matters in your life. We need to hope. We need to pitch our tent in the land of hope. We need to wait in hope. Hope will get you through any misery in life. Redeem that time. Be an on-purpose person. Be a person who is worthy of the time you've been given. Be a person who's accurate with the time. A targeted person. A person who understands they need to use their time specifically. A person who understands their days are numbered. If you do that, God is going to bless you. You'll have His favor on your life. His grace is going to be upon you. You're going to be successful. Things that appear to be dead are going to be raised again. But you got to do it right. You got to be specific with your time. I have enjoyed this series. I hope you have. It has been meaningful to me. It's got me focused again on what I'm doing with my time. Let's pray.